Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, March 10, 2017. A senior Catholic Church leader warns President Salva Kiir not to delay in bringing peace to South Sudan.
This prayer today, I think, is a dangerous prayer. It is a difficult prayer for us all, but it is especially for somebody and a few of us, I believe, who might have not prayed well, who might not have prayed with clear conscience, and who might not have...
And internal displaced South Sudanese boycott the Day of National Prayers. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. But we first go to Juba. Thousands of South Sudanese stood under scorching sun today to take part in President Salva Kiir's National Day of Prayer. The president used the occasion to pardon some political detainees. Some religious leaders did not have kind words for President Kiir on this prayer day. The Archbishop of the Catholic Church in South Sudan, Most Reverend Paulino Lukudu Loro, had this message for South Sudanese leaders, members of the diplomatic corps, and thousands of South Sudanese who gathered at John Garang Mausoleum to attend the prayer day.
I therefore say that if this prayer is correct, is true, we expect so many good things to happen. This prayer should not go without good result. Many things should happen in this country. Some of them are peace, justice, love, forgiveness, reconciliation, genuine dialogue, the rule of law, good governance, security, good economy, provision of essential commodities in the market, and so many others, which we have heard from the prayers of this day.
Senior religious leaders, including archbishops, bishops, and Muslim clerics, attended the prayers. The outspoken Archbishop Lukudu urged the president to focus on one thing.
I think the intention, Mr. President, you have now is peace and not war and not evil. I think we are telling you that after this prayer, your Excellency, go into the room, go to pray and decide for peace in the country. As to all of us, my brothers and sisters, let us, all of us who have come here today for this prayer, let us choose the way to peace and not to evil.
For his part, President Kiir stepped to the podium and promptly recited the Catholic prayer of confession.
Most merciful God, through my shortcomings, I have sinned against you in thoughts, in words, and deeds, by what I have done and what I have failed to do. I humbly repent and ask for your loving mercy and forgiveness. Whatever is in my power to do for the people of South Sudan, please, Lord, help me to be your instrument of love, service delivery, peace, reconciliation, and forgiveness. Grant this, God, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Mr. Kiir also urged the occasion to order that two political detainees detained since last May should be released.
The General Elias Waya Nyiboy, Major General Andrea Dominic Pasafir. These are the people who fought the war with me, but I never knew that they would one day turn to be tribal leaders. But today, because of these prayers, I am really releasing them to be free.
Archbishop Lukudu challenged the government to be honest and to repent and fully implement its promises, including the peace agreement.
This prayer today, I think, is a dangerous prayer. It is a difficult prayer for us all, but it is especially for somebody and a few of us, I believe, who might have not prayed well, who might not have prayed with clear conscience, and who might not have prayed with the right intention. This prayer is dangerous today, because if you have come here, and I believe not that this bitterness of this our heat will not go in vain, but God will reply to us.
The Archbishop called on top government officials to condemn widespread cases of rape by men believed to be from South Sudan Army. Lukudu says the killing, torture, looting, corruption, arbitrary arrest, detention, tribalism, discrimination and oppression of South Sudanese must end. Many residents who turned out for the National Prayer Day say they want God's intervention on the challenges facing South Sudanese. Mama Emilia Julia attended the prayers and says she wanted to hear what the president had to say. Another Zakaria, Lucia Zakaria, also came to Dr. John Garang Museum. She said she wants to join fellow Christians in prayers for peace. Although thousands of people turn up for the prayers, many South Sudanese have criticized Mr. Kiir on the social media for calling a National Day of Prayer. Critics call the prayer day, quote, mockery. Government supporters say they expected to see changes after today's prayers by religious leaders. Waki Simon Wudu prepared that report from Juba. Internal displaced persons, or IDPs, at the UN Protection of Civilian Sites in Juba today staged a peaceful protest against President Kiir's national dialogue. They say they won't take part in today's National Prayer Day because they are being shut out of the dialogue process. A government spokesman says it's premature for anyone to claim they are being shut out since the government is still preparing the national dialogue. Tito Justin has more for VOA from Juba.
Hundreds of IDPs at UN Protection of Civilian Site 3 in Juba chant "No, no" for national prayers. They say they do not recognize the National Prayer Day because they don't believe the national dialogue expected to begin in few days is genuine. James Mabor is one of today's protesters.
We are not convinced that the national dialogue that Kiir is putting up is genuine and would help us out of the crisis. So we are saying it is meaningless. Number two, the prayers that he has put up has no relevance, because usually the prayers are conducted by the church. As displaced persons, we are stakeholders in peace, but we think what he is doing now is not going to bring us any peace.
Mabor says today's prayers will not address the grievances of the people affected by the more than three-year-long conflict as long as there is no commitment from the government and armed oppositions to end the suffering across the country.
For this reason, we are demonstrating to the whole world and to Kiir himself that the move he is taking is not bailing the country out of the crisis, and he should not fool anybody about that. If he is serious about peace, which is primary and it should be number one, let him adhere to the agreement that was arrived at in Addis Ababa in August 2015.
Stephen Lohr, an elderly IDP taking part in today's protest, says he sees no reason to participate in the national prayers because he says IDPs like himself have been neglected by the government since the outbreak of violence in late 2013.
First of all, the prayer comes after degree of national dialogue. It's a national day for prayer. How can you pray for the dialogue that is not inclusive? Are we going to pray for such a kid so that God has to forgive him? Or what are we going to pray for?
Dola John, another IDP, says she did not participate in today's national dialogue because she still feels it is too dangerous to step outside the UN camp in Juba. Speaking in Arabic, she says the government should focus foremost on achieving lasting peace.
What they should do to bring peace is to realize that peace cannot be achieved by just only a part of the problem. They need to bring in even Riek Machar as well.
Akol Paul called it South Sudan's Deputy Information Minister insists that the National Prayer Day and dialogue are open to everybody in the country, including IDPs.
So for anybody now to conclude that they've been excluded or they have not been involved in the process, like our dear people in the IDP camps, I think that would be premature conclusion. Because the dialogue itself has not yet commenced. So how do you come to conclusion that you have been excluded?
Yesterday, government spokesman Michael McQuay said the armed opposition and people living in rebel-held areas should first renounce rebellion before participating in the national dialogue. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Wau, where some residents are welcoming President Salva Kiir's decision to release former Wau State Governor Elias Wae Nyipoch and his deputy Andrea Dominic from detention. The two were detained in May for allegedly failing to contain violence in Wau. Mr. Kiir ordered their release during today's National Day of Prayer, as we hear from Michael Atit in Juba.
Sarah Elias Waya, the daughter of the former governor Nyipoch, says her family is relieved to hear the news that their father will be freed, but will only believe it when they see him in person.
We are really happy to hear this news, but yet we'll be happier when we see him around us in the house. And we're not sure when is it going to happen exactly, but it's a good sign, as you're saying. It's a very good sign.
Elias Waya Nyipoch and his former deputy, Andrea Dominic Safir, were detained last year for failing to contain the widespread violence that broke out in Wau Town. Since June, the two leaders remain in detention without any formal charges brought against them. Wau Town resident Regina Gabriel Gok says in Arabic that she too is pleased to hear Waya will be freed because he was a good leader.
He was an icon of an army leader for our community in Wau. When he decided to leave the Sudanese army and join the SPLA, that was because he saw his people suffering in South Sudan. After all that, he was falsely accused of rebellion, which turned to be not true.
A Juba resident whose ancestral home is in Wau and prefers to be identified only as Abraham says the decision to release the two leaders is long overdue. Speaking in his native Balanda language, Abraham says the government violated the rights of the two leaders when it detained them for several months without even formally charging them in a court of law.
If Andrea and Elias have been detained for being rebel supporters, as a normal procedure, they're supposed to be investigated or taken to court and the result of the trial be public or the result be published for everybody to see. They have been in detention now for nearly a year, so they have even lost their rights.
Abraham and Gok says they expect the government to release all political detainees in the country to pave the way for the real dialogue. Paulino Lukuduloro, the Archbishop of the Catholic Archdiocese of Juba, welcomed the decision to release the detainees on this National Day of Prayer and hopes President Kiir will order that all detainees be freed.
Thank you, Your Excellency. You have released some people today. I think as Christians and people of God, we are very happy and grateful to you. We would have wished today that you free all the prisons in the country so that they are all clean.
In April last year, Amnesty International released a list of more than 30 political detainees who, it says, have never been charged with a crime or tried in a court of law. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Yei, where women rights activists say rape cases are on the rise. They say they have recorded at least 15 cases of women and teenage girls being raped by men in uniform in January and February of this year. One victim says the government must do more to arrest rapists. For VOA News, Daniel Friday Martin has more from Yei.
Yei River State women rights activists are alarmed over the increasing number of rape cases. They say they are committed both inside and outside Yei town. A 56-year-old raped victim says a group of armed men entered her house in Dilip area in Yei town and gang-raped her. Speaking in her local Kakwa dialect, she says the armed men entered her room and took turns raping her.
They came and greeted me and took off, and after a short while, I entered my room without knowing that others were still coming behind. One of the young soldiers entered into my iron sheet-roofed room and closed the door behind him. When he tried to take off my clothes, I started screaming and begging him not to rape me. I told him I am already old, but he didn't listen. I want to tell the government that I am not happy. We want peace to come to us. We don't want war.
She says after she was gang raped, some people from her neighborhood found her and took her to the hospital. Women's rights activist Hawa Adams says she and other activists have reported at least 15 rape incidents, including teenage girls raped by unknown armed men in January and early February. Adams says, unlike in the past, the government must take strong measures to punish the perpetrators.
We have registered around 13 cases. You can find that it's aging like from 60 years to 13 years old girl that has been raped. So these are the cases that we are majorly having so much concern. As women, we really condemn it so much because as a woman, it's really affecting us so much. And then when you look at a 13-year-old girl when she's raped, it really, in fact, it disturbs her mind. So we are really asking the leadership to at least look at the plight of the women all over the country.
Yeah, River State Acting Minister for Local Government and Law Enforcement, Stephen Ladu, has condemned the incidents and says the public should immediately report rape incidents to the authorities.
If anybody has already been raped and there are cases of rape, they should come forward to the government and open case with the police. So investigation will be taking place, and these cases are not going to be put aside until this case is going to be pursued in the court of law. So it's very important for every citizen that encounters such incidences, they should come forward and open a case with the police.
SPLA spokesperson Brigadier Lul Rai Kong vows to carry out an investigation into all reported rape cases.
So far, we have not received an official notification from the state authorities or either from the victims or anybody who is representing them. And therefore, it would be difficult for SPLA to take steps aimed at getting the alleged culprit. And therefore, because the reports are worrying, and we'll do our best to ensure that we get more information from the commander in the area.
In San Sudanese culture, women and girls are often stigmatized if they report being raped. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yay.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, community leaders in Pibor say they are under attack from men in military uniform. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
are you happiest when you are out and about or at home?
Sincerely, I'm usually happiest when I'm out and about because I have so many friends out there who can make me laugh, and there's so many things you can learn when you're out. But when I'm at home, I'm usually just alone.
When I'm home, I feel like being with family is fun to me because we get to tell each other what's going on in our lives, you know, just update each other.
You know, sometimes you're happy when you're at home, sometimes you're happy when you're out and about.
I'm more happier when I'm at home with my friends because I come back from my work. We usually used to see with friends and talk before. After, say, like 8 o'clock, then everyone can go his home.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Jonglei State Governor Philip Aguer says he is aware of concerns of clashes between Bor youth and Boma State authorities. He says with less than 100 police in Jonglei State, the state government has no capacity to address the situation. He says he's waiting for help from Juba.
The community cried for the government to protect them. But in Jonglei, the armed police is only less than 100. And you can see the villages are stretched over more than 150 miles. There's no police that can defend them, nor the army can do that. So this cattle rustling and the civilian violence require law enforcement agencies to be supported and enhanced, which we don't have now. So eventually, the youth have waited and they have given us ultimatum. They have written document that if the government in Juba doesn't come and return the cattle, they will go and look for the cattle, because a unit that was sent from Tibo to Lipongole, or cattle was taken in November, the Buma authority to return the cattle. Those who raided the cattle, they said no, the cattle that are taken by force are not given. If anybody wants them, let them come and take them. So probably that might have provoked the youth, because they have seen that we have no power to go and bring the cattle. The police that is involved now is less than 50 men, those who are armed.
The ultimatum that you mentioned, when did the youth give you that ultimatum, and was it in written form or verbal form?
Yes, it was in written form. It was in the 20th of January. It was 20th of January. The other that was written by the Jale community was written on the 29th of December, immediately after the cattle were ready from Jale. And I think the copies of this ultimatum, we sent them to Juba, and probably they are in the office of Atanyiwa Katany, the spokesman of the presidency.
What was Juba's response to that ultimatum?
The response was that the Ministry of Defense informed the Buma authorities to return the cattle, to work very hard to ensure that cattle are returned. But those who took the cattle, they went and refused. And I think the government in Buma was not able to do anything.
The ultimatum, what exactly was in the ultimatum that the youth gave to you?
They said if the two governments, the government of Jonglei State and the government of Buma, do not return their cattle, they will go after their cattle.
This sounds like a case of vigilante justice, in that you have civilians who are taking the law into their own hands. It sounds like they lack confidence in state officials to resolve the matter.
The cattle rustlers, I don't know how do you describe them. Cattle rustling is a chronic problem. So whether they are vigilante or what, these are owners of the cattle versus the looters and the abductors. So whatever you call them, unless you bring them together and sit with them and see who are they.
What is the solution to this? It sounds like, from what you're saying, that there isn't enough police, the army cannot help, and the matters that you've already taken aren't working so far, and it sounds like the youth are becoming agitated. So what is the solution to making sure that this does not go on any longer?
The solution is the implementation of the peace agreement that we signed on the 4th of December last year. And in that agreement, I think many things can help us out. People have to sit down and discuss and see what can be done. On our side, yesterday we confirmed to the representative of the Secretary General who came here to Bor, and I believe he should be now in Buma, we stated our readiness as usual to work for peace building in the region and to bring the sheep. You have to bring the sheep, that is the traditional authority, the sheep and the youth on both sides, to sit and discuss these issues. The chief yesterday made their case clear. They presented a paper. And I believe if the representative of the United Nations has time to discuss it with Buma, you can see him tomorrow. And I believe that is a window of opportunity that the chief of both states and the youth leaders are brought together and sit and discuss the issue, because for us, dialogue is a must.
That's Colonel Philip Aguer, the governor of Jonglei State, speaking to Ayen Bior earlier today from Bor. United Nations aid agencies have succeeded in providing aid to 338,000 people in famine-stricken parts of South Sudan, but the UN is warning that 100,000 people are facing starvation and risk dying unless the UN can access the area. The World Food Programme tells VOA it is airdropping food and other supplies into the area. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
UN aid agencies have been scaling up relief operations in famine-stricken Unity State since February 20th, when the UN declared a localized famine in this region of South Sudan. The United Nations reports some of the 100,000 people facing starvation are dying, while another 1 million are on the brink of famine across war-torn South Sudan. Because of security concerns, the World Food Program has been airdropping food, emergency livelihood assistance, nutrition supplements, health and sanitation kits. WFP spokeswoman Bettina Lucia tells VOA airdrops are the only option when truck convoys are unable to go by road to deliver aid.
Famines happen if aid workers don't have access. And that was the issue in those areas. Again and again over the past few years, we were able to avoid a famine in those areas. But these people now for the third time have been in really dire situation and need the outside help. It's crucially important that aid workers get access. And, of course, funding is important, too.
Spokesman for the Organization for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, Jens Lajerke, agrees. Unfortunately, he says a week after famine was declared in parts of South Sudan, 28 humanitarians were forced to leave Mayandit, one of the hardest-hit areas, following skirmishes north of the town.
Intensive negotiations were undertaken to try to get the aid workers back. They're critically needed in the response. However, renewed fighting has been reported on the outskirts of the town on the 1st of March, and aid organizations, the 28 aid workers, have not been able to return because of the continued fighting.
Lajerke says the UN's life-saving operation also is being hampered by a lack of funds. He says only slightly more than 9% of the $1.6 billion needed to carry out emergency operations this year has been received. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
That's our show for this Friday, and we are now leaving you with the song City Elosi by Eddie Kenzo. We have been listening to Eddie Kenzo with the song Sitelosi. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Have a safe and peaceful weekend, and please join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Oh, mama, ooh la la, yeah. Oh.